You're listening to Around the Galaxy with Pete Fletzer. We would be honored if you would join us.
This is Pete Fletzer. On this episode of Around the Galaxy, we are joined by Mark Hamill, lookalike, Luke Skywalker. Join us as we talk about Star Wars and charity, being mistaken for the Jedi Master himself, and bringing smiles to the faces that need them the most. So strap yourselves in, relax, and enjoy this journey around the galaxy. Welcome to episode number 60 of Around the Galaxy, the Star Wars fan talk show. I am your host, Pete Fletzer. Thank you so much for joining us on this week's episode. If this is your first visit to Around the Galaxy, well, welcome aboard. Thanks for trying us out. If you like what you hear, make sure to, you know, rate and review us on your favorite podcast outlet. If this is a return visit for you, well, thank you so, so much. You are the lifeblood of the show. You are what keeps us going week to week. Thank you so much for checking us out on a regular basis. If you do check us out on a regular basis, then you know the drill. We are available on Twitter at ATGcast, and not only will you find out about the upcoming guests and goings-on with Around the Galaxy, but you'll also be part of the Star Wars conversation. We are always actively involved in doing something fun, like right now we're doing a Star Wars lightsaber battle. We're doing sort of a Sweet 16 tournament of all the different lightsaber battles that have taken place across all nine of the saga films. Anyway, I digress. So follow us on Twitter at ATGcast, or of course you can always go to ATGcast.com and find us there. You know, I would be remiss if I didn't acknowledge the fact that we are probably, for most of us, in week three or four of the coronavirus quarantine. And so we're in a spot where social media and being a good person is probably more important than ever before. And so this week's guest is actually very fitting. If you get a chance, I'm going to put the interview up on our YouTube channel. You need to look at pictures of Luke Skywalker. The guy bears a striking resemblance to Mark Hamill in his sequel trilogy, Luke Skywalker look. And he has taken that and turned it to use it for good. He makes appearances as Luke Skywalker for charity. Doesn't take a single dollar himself, but he uses his Star Wars fandom for good. So, Luke, thank you so much for joining me today. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on your podcast. This is awesome.
Oh, it's awesome to have you here. So, for those of you who don't know who Luke Skywalker is, maybe tell us, give us a little introduction to who you are and why, what your Star Wars sort of thing is.
I am a guy who looks a little bit like Mark Hamill, and I decided to use that to do, continue to volunteer, to do charity work, to help out a lot of charities in my area and now spreading around the country as well, too. You know, that includes recent shows in Louisville, Dallas, and upcoming shows in San Diego and hopefully Anaheim as well at the Star Wars Celebration. So I always look for opportunities wherever I can to volunteer. And no matter what I do, 100% of the money goes to the charities. I don't take any money for it. I'm just a volunteer. And since I don't golf, this is what I do for fun.
that's fantastic. Yeah. So it's for, you know, I hope to be able to put the videos up. There'll certainly be pictures available and links from the notes section of the podcast. But you have a remarkable resemblance to episode 7, 8, 9, Luke Skywalker. So when did you discover that you did you feel like you looked like him, or did somebody say, hey, you look like him? Tell me a little bit about that sort of discovery.
I'd be glad to tell you the story. So my family and I have been volunteers at our local Ronald McDonald House here in Cincinnati since 2006. That's when our kids were little. Mm-hmm. And my wife got me into this and said, hey, come down here and help volunteer. We're going to join other families and cook breakfast for the people that have to stay there. And for the listeners that don't know what they do, is Ronald McDonald House is always attached to a hospital, usually a children's hospital, like Cincinnati Children's Hospital, which is one of the best on the planet. And the kids, they have to have multiple surgeries or whatever's going on with them, chemo treatments or whatever. They have to stay somewhere for a while. And some families are there a year or more. Now imagine a hotel room costs for a year or more, plus your food and all that. So Ronald McDonald House steps up and they take care of the families. They house them. If the family can pay, that's great. If they can't, they can't, but they always pay a very limited amount. But Ronald McDonald House does that. So the rest of us will jump in to help them out because, you know, as a parent, you can empathize with the parents, what they're going through, and financially getting punched in the face. You got a sick kid that they're worried about. So it's great. We went down about 5 or 6 times a year, volunteered. The other families cook breakfast up until, that's from 2006 till just around 2.5 years ago. And around that time, they hired a couple of professional chefs to have better nutrition for the families that are there. Everybody says, we'll make you pancakes. We're going to make you pizza. We're going to make you spaghetti. They're all carbs, right? So wisely, they went ahead and hired the chefs, and I applaud them for that move. Better nutrition for everybody. So the opportunity that we had to volunteer kind of changed up. Like, okay, now what are we going to do? And at that same time, I have short hair, no beard, and I lost 90 pounds. So I walked into the hardware store, there's a Lowe's hardware store by us up the road, and that was the first guy ever to say to me, just off the cuff like that, hey, buddy, anybody ever tell you you look just like Mark Hamill? So I'm like, no, because I was always there overweight, you know, I don't know what the heck I'm talking about. So a couple more times, like right after that, we went to the movies and somebody said, hey, Luke Skywalker. I'm like, really? So I looked up a picture of the current, you know, Mark Hamill, and I'd seen, you know, the Force Awakens, and it just didn't click until, you know, I lost the weight. And then, so I told my wife, I said, I know what we're going to do. Why don't you buy me the white costume from the Force Awakens and for my birthday coming up. And then at Christmas time, I'll go up with toys to Ronald McDonald House, take up the toys. Let's see how it goes. And we knew the people there. They said, sure, let's give it a shot. And boom, big hit, right? So the kids love the toys. Even the little guys have no concept who Luke Skywalker is, right? No games and toys and puzzles and lightsabers and all that. And the adults were loving it. And that's the first time I ran into an adult, a parent there, that came over and said, Mr. Hamill, I'm so glad you came here because I know LA is a lot warmer than Cincinnati in the middle of the winter, Christmas time. And in my mind, I'm like, oh man, now what do I do? So I just like, you know, hey, thanks, you know, so... because I get fully into character when I get all dressed up. So I'm sounding, because I've got kids around, I don't do the older gruff training Ray Mark Hamill, because that's scary to little kids. So I'm the ebullient Mark Hamill that you would, you know, low and love. And hey, that looks fantastic. You could really know that lightsaber well. I mean, you're like a Jedi, you know? And then, so you turn on the Hamill voice and you're just more over the top, just kind of an homage to the guy, you know? And, versus the, you know, impressive, everything you said was wrong, you know, that voice, you know, you want to turn that on. So anyway, that's kind of where it started, and it took off from there. And so what we do is every 3 months or so, we go back with another load of toys. I do a fundraiser once a year on GoFundMe, and right around Christmas time, and get a bunch of money, and then I divide it up where I've got, divide it by 4, and then add some of that. My wife and I always kick in, and we buy Star Wars toys with that, and then we always post that online. So if anybody wants any kind of veracity of what's going on, because I vowed when I started, I want to maintain 100% transparency, give 100% away, because I think, for me, all charities should do it, but I know they have overhead, and I get it. But sure. To me personally, we're okay. So that's what I do. So if anybody needs to go and check it out, you can always go on Facebook. It's Fluke Skywalker. FLUKE Skywalker movie character. You look that up because I'm not the Korean drummer kid. Not out there. And then on Instagram and Twitter, it's #1, like the numeral 1, Fluke Skywalker, all one word. And I post everything on there all the time just to stay transparent. So, like, now what I do in between the taking the toys up every 3 months is I can go to all these events. Mm-hmm. And when I'm finished, what they'll do is they'll write a check to Ronald McDonald House or to Dragonfly Foundation or whatever the organization is. Mm-hmm. And so I'm a courier. I just take it up. I insist. I said, don't write anything to me. Write that to them. Right. So they get the tax write-off, and Ronald McDonald House or whomever gets 100% of the money. So I just take it up as a volunteer. I consider myself no better than anybody else. There's people at the front desk or people that clean toilets or the people that help the chefs or whatever. I'm the same as them. I'm just doing it a little bit differently, using this damn handsome, good looking face I got.
That's great.
So, and the modesty.
Hey, the modesty goes with it, man. That's exactly.
So, but when I put the makeup on, what you'd see now, if you were seeing the video, is just, you know, the guy who's doing this. But when I put the makeup on, spray a little bit of spray in the hair, and get the lightsaber going, put the costumes on, And then, you know, get into the Hamill voice and really sell it, you know, and make them believe that it goes over the top. So, that's a good thing, unless it gets you in trouble where people actually believe that this is the guy right in front of me. And that becomes problematic because, you know, I can even yell at him, I'm not the guy. So, when my daughter graduated high school, we said, you know, she got a good, scholarship to a real nice art college or art program in the University of Cincinnati at the DAF program. It's like world renowned, really good. So we said, hey, Mom and I want to treat you something nice. What do you want? And she said, can you take me to Comic-Con? So we said, okay. You know, we try to get tickets to that. And she says, but I want you to wear your Luke stuff. I go, okay. Honey, I said, I just do that for around here. You know, I'm just small potatoes. That's just to do fundraisers. She said, don't worry, Dad, you'll blend in. So if anybody gets a chance to, you can Google this, which is you Google Comic-Con 2019 Mark Hamill lookalike.
Yep.
And he's one M and two L's. And you can see there's a news story from the Orange County Register, a massive paper out in California. And then there's a 30-second video. If you put that same search into YouTube, you can see the video of this me blending in happening, which is the headline, something like Mark Hamill lookalike blows minds at Comic-Con. Yep. And so we shut down all these aisles, the main entrance, everybody's going nuts, about 300 people trying to cram in to get a selfies. They blocked all the main doors and all that. And the security's yelling at him to move. You'll see that in the video. And, you know, everybody go, go, go. Cause they're all thinking this is the guy, he's here. Right. Yeah. And so they had to kind of move me out of that spot cause it was a fire answered, but that's where it gets to be a little bit of a problem.
Yeah.
And,
you know, I think I remember seeing that. Cause, that was, I remember seeing that show up on Facebook and a couple of places and everybody, I remember being blown away by, I was like, that there's no way that's not Mark Hamill. What's going on right. with that? So you get that now you keep the beard and you have to probably maintain that certain hair length and everything. Yeah. And do you walk down the street in Cincinnati or wherever you go and people stop you and think you're Mark Hamill as well?
No, not a bit.
No,
not a bit. No. I don't get that at all from anywhere. It's just when I put on the costume and the makeup and all that, it starts to click. See, the thing that really makes a difference is I used to get that when I had short hair and I first grew out the beard because Mark Hamill at that time had short hair and the beard.
Right.
So that's where I could hear that. But I've grown it longer because I don't want to cosplay Mark Hamill. I want to cosplay Luke Skywalker.
Right.
So the longer hair, anybody that's seen him recently knows, okay, he has shorter hair and his beard's a little bit whiter and stuff. And he's, I think, a dozen years older than I. So, yeah, I don't get that much at all. But when I put the makeup on or whatever, it's a hard time and it's a dilemma for me, because I have to tell people, you know, no, I'm not. Now, what happens is, what's really strange, I know this is going to sound goofy, it might even sound egotistical, which I don't want to come off that way, but whatever happens to him happens to me out in public. The identical things have happened because I listened so I could get his voice down. I listened to him in his interviews over and over and over, as well as him doing the Joker, because there are people that are on the fence right. and walk right up and they're 1 foot away from my face and they're going, man, I did a triple take when I saw you. I'll tell you what, buddy, if you can do the Joker, you're the dude. So I watched him do Killing Joke from the 2016 Comic-Con and he read it cold. And I watched like 200 times minimum. To right. get all the inflection and all the pacing and everything just right so I could do it for him. And it really kills your throat to do it. And so after watching him that many times, I'm like, man, you know, that's where I became a Mark Hamill fan. And believe it or not, more than Star Wars or Luke Skywalker, I'm a Mark Hamill fan because of that amount of talent that embodies one human being. Really, really good and so underrated. I mean, I hope 100 years from now, everybody remembers this is not just Luke Skywalker. This guy did a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
And the really good voices, and the Joker's course is superb. And with his diction, intonation, inflection is just, it's the best. So people don't really do that much anymore because of growing the hair longer and the beard and stuff. And if anybody does think it, they don't say it.
Right.
It's like right. that. If I put on glasses, a lot of the business is in the eyes and, of course, the circles and stuff, the genetics. But, and the eyes, mine aren't as blue as his, but they're blue enough to pull it off. So, the lighting's probably not so good here. You can see that, but you know, but I also do my his are a little bit rounder. So when I'm out there and I'm doing the Luke thing, if I got the lightsaber and you always got the eyes open like that, right?
Right.
So I can getting to be a little more the older hermit Luke, you know, on the island, who's a king of social isolation, as it were.
Right. Social distancing. He was the first social distancer.
He had it, man. He was pre-estimated, you know, pressure for everybody else. So so I don't get that much at all. No, not at all. Now, so I'm a retired teacher. I taught science and social studies and a lot of specials. And so what I do now is drive Uber and Lyft. So I have a sign in my car. And what I do is if I ever get tips, then all the money goes into a pile and that buys even more toys. Mm-hmm. So from the sign and stuff, a lot of people there will go, oh, yeah, I can see it right now. There's pictures of me there with the kids and stuff. And probably one out of 10 rides, maybe, because you do a lot of rides. One out of 10 people say, hey, can we stop? Can we do a selfie? I'm like, sure. So I always get out and there's tons of selfies with me and people all over town. So, but that's other than that, no, people don't do anything.
Now, did you grow up a Star Wars fan?
I've been asked that before, C to C plus. I've seen every movie.
Right.
I was in eighth grade when the first one came out. I had a friend who was a massive Star Trek fan, so he went twice, and I thought, wow, you must be rich. Turns out my friend went to the movies that had the dollar run theaters, and he saw it 48 times.
Whoa, 48
times. So he was like really, really into it. And of course, he's one of my best friends. So I'm just an average Star Wars fan. I remember buying like the magazines that had Star Wars stuff in it and what have you, but there are people who are really hardcore. If we were in a trivia contest, they'd blow me clean out of the water. And I have... fans that I talk to online. There's one, her name's Tina. She goes by Jedi Revan 75 on Twitter. And she's my go-to of if I need to know something Star Wars, like, and I don't know, and I'm too embarrassed to ask because I don't know, I will go to her. And it's always impresses me again, the amount of females that were influenced by this movie and yeah. the empowerment that Carrie started with and Rey has yeah. really affected girls nowadays, and I'm more power to them. I like that, and kudos for George for being that far ahead to say, yeah, you know what, no damsel in distress here, I'm going to make her a kick butt princess. So yeah. Good for him. So anyway, as far as being the fan goes, I'm getting more and more and more. I'm rewatching now that we're doing social distancing. I'm inside, I'm watching over and over again, and notice what an actual clothes horse Padme is in 1 and 2. She goes through like 1500 costume changes like 8 minutes. Yes. And then there's always a race. There's always some kind of race that George is doing, no matter what. He started with Thex 1138. There's a race. No matter what he's yep. doing, he's going to race in all of his movies.
Yep.
Indy, you name it. There's always a race. So I've noticed that about him. But I can't figure out, did somebody, when he was younger, did he see somebody's arm get cut off? Because there's always an arm being cut off. In every Star Wars, there's arms lost left
you
know, and right.
It's really funny. It totally... irrelevant other than to what you just mentioned there, but this, I think the sequel trilogy, somebody had noticed, I saw this on Twitter the other day, that it was the first trilogy where nobody lost a hand, which is so strange.
Probably.
You know, it was, you must be right. It must be George. It must be something yeah. happened to George.
That was it. We lost one, but not hand. That would be it. Bad one, sorry.
No, that's perfect.
That's as best as going to get. And yeah, and you know, and so the other thing too about not being a super fan like that is I don't go all comic book guy on it and go nuts when something doesn't fit. Because as you well know, as most people will tell you, Star Wars movies have more holes than Swiss cheese in as far as plots go. Yeah. And me, I just sit back and enjoy the ride. I'm like, I love the special effects. I love the music from John Williams. I love the ideas, the whole concepts that come out of stuff. The ships are great. And so I don't go chapter and verse again, like comic book guy. Oh, in episode 4, section 3 at 321 in, you said thus versus thusly, making the whole scene. No, that thing. You're like, okay, settle down.
Do you run into people like that when you're at cosplay?
Yeah. And they'll want to go 5 hours with you and stuff. And there's people waiting in line and you have to politely go, okay, well, thank you for your input. But yeah, you know, there's some people just really super hardcore with it, and the people online or whatever. And so I usually check with my friend Tina first before mm-hmm. I post something that's Star Wars related. Am I right here? Or why isn't there a woman DeLorean? She says, hey, dummy, Mandalore is a planet. And then now it turns out it's a Kree or whatever. But I appreciate her honesty and input. She's a very valuable person to go to and has become a good friend. It's somebody good to talk to. For, you know, just general stuff. Hey, how's your dad feeling type stuff, but also anything Star Wars I need. She doesn't embarrass me when she says, oh, here's where this comes or whatever. Or I'll check and get back to it. So she's really, really a good source for that too. But again, it helps me out when I attempt to post something to either just stay kind of relevant to any fans or asking questions. But, you know, again, they're more Mark Hamill fans than they are my fans. There's a few that are really into it for what I'm doing, but for the most part, they're all just Mark Hamill fans, and I'm just kind of a ad hoc in the sense of him getting back to them or not. Cause I'll always answer them back,
right?
Whether he will or not. Now, the fact that he even gets in touch with anybody at all, or even responds and does a like, is beyond belief. The guy's got 3.5 million followers, beloved around the world. And he doesn't have to do any of that. He can just sit on his pile of coins and count them all day, and more power to him what he does. So the fact that he interacts with fans at all is just, it's a beautiful thing that he does that. It's really, I don't know, just something a genuinely decent human, non over the top egotistical person is doing. Yeah. And the level of patience that he has with people is beyond belief. So again, I'm a more of a Mark Hamill fan than I am a Luke Skywalker or Star Wars fan. As much as I like that, I really like the guy just for him not being a jerk. And also the amount of care they'll give back, but he backed off on Facebook a little bit. And I apologize. Quit Facebook, and he's backed off on Twitter, probably as a New Year's resolution. And that's, you know, I can't blame the guy, you know, because everybody wants a piece of him nonstop.
Yeah. And, you know, it's weird too. And so if I was in those films, I can imagine, just as you were pointing out before, not only do you have sort of the people who are like looking for plot holes, but people who there's infighting among the fandom, and it's stressful. And I would imagine for him, he would probably get called into some of that he just wouldn't want to even have anything to do with. So that's interesting. I do have to say one of the highlights of 2019 for us was I posted a picture of my son actually on his birthday with a Lego ship, and I tagged him and he gave him a little happy birthday. So it was a very exciting evening at our house that night, just because look what happened. So that was great. But to your point, he's such a genuine soul, and I think the fans appreciate that. And I think, you know, that's part of that Luke Skywalker love people have, is it's not just Luke, it's the character of Mark Hamill that comes through, and he's so dedicated to it. It's really fantastic.
Yeah. You know what? I mean, I don't know. I really don't know him. But from what I can surmise, you know, for somebody that moved 9 times in 12 years while he's growing up, mm-hmm. you imagine how tough that would be for any kid to try to go from school to school to school. You know, and then his dad was, you know, Navy guy. So there's some discipline that goes with that too. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the fact that he's just as well balanced and adjusted as he is, that again, that I can tell, I don't know him, never met him. That's the question that comes up the most is, mm-hmm. That's the number one question. Have you ever met Mark Hamill? I'm like, no, I have not. But for somebody who's moved around like that, you know, kudos to him for being whatever normal is, somewhat normal, you know, in that sense. And it seems like somebody would have a beer with you, a glass of wine, and make some fun dad jokes and whatever. You know, probably put his hand on his armpit and make fart sounds or whatever. You know? just for a laugh, you know, whatever. I don't think you'd do that. But, you know, he's actually pretty smart, too.
Yeah.
When I watch him do the interviews and just the words that he's using off the cuff, he's a pretty smart fella. I got to hand him to, you know, that to him as well, too. He's a pretty bright guy. So I always admire somebody that has got all their cylinders firing, as it were.
That's true. So outside of the Comic-Con experience, what's some of your some really interesting or memorable experiences? Right? I mean, I'm sure every opportunity to get together with the kids is memorable. I do a charity golf tournament, so I have an understanding of what that means personally, but have there been any specific experiences that stick out in your head?
A lot. Almost every time I go out, there's always something that's interesting or new. And, you know, again, you watch Hamill talk about a story about either he'll be at an airport and the parents will come over and go, oh my gosh, and they bring a kid over. Look, it's Luke Skywalker. And of course the kid has just seen episode 4 where he's that young, handsome guy, farm boy there. Right. And he looks up at you and he goes, what the hell happened to you, man? I just saw you last week. You were a damn handsome little young guy, right? What happened? So that look I see on the kid's face. But the wild thing is okay, so every year now, they've done it 2 years and hopefully we'll do a third year, is that the Cincinnati Pops plays a Star Wars movie above the stage. So the orchestra is playing the John Williams music live and the movie's playing above you. Yep. It's a really beautiful experience. So I've heard they were going to do that with episode 4, which they started with 2 years ago. And I called them up and said, I'd love to come down. How can I help? And in turn, would you give tickets to these families at the Ronald McDonald House and Dragonfly so they can have a night out and not think about bills and cancer and sickness and fretting? And they said, of course. And Amber's a real sweetheart down there. And so she said, yeah, come down. So I did that. And the response there was overwhelming. My hair was still not long at that point, but it was getting longer. But I was still Mark Hamill-like. And I started off in the lobby before the show. And they had the slow things down to get people in there. And the intermission came down the line. And at the end, there was a line that went, this is a big music hall. So you got to imagine how big the lobby is. And it went from one side to the other. Wow. And people were lined up because they wanted to get a picture. And a lot of people were off to the side and they'd look down at their phone. They'd look up at me, look down because they're online looking at Mark Hamill. They look at me and I look over and they would just reach from back and forth and they'd go get in line. And that was where, you know, it started coming up. And I'm watching, I'm taking a picture with one family or whatever. I'm looking at the person, you know, there's a camera there, but just behind them out of the corner of my eye, I can see a guy and he's 50. Mark Hamill talked about this. He's 50 years old and he doesn't realize that he's dancing in place. And dancing in place because he's so excited to meet Luke Skywalker. And that same guy comes up to me, hugs me, pulls back 1 foot away from my face. We are face to face, nose to nose. He can smell my breath. I can smell his. And he says, Mr. Hamill, I can't tell you how excited I am to meet you. This is the happiest day of my life. Now imagine in my shoes,
right,
this moment of, oh, crap, right, which is, okay, let's put it this way. If you've ever taken a kid to a mall and you for Christmas for seeing Santa and they wait the line and you come up and the kid's 4 or 5 and you say, hey, look, it's Santa. Come on, let's go see Santa. And you put him on Santa's lap. Imagine at that moment, the little kid looks up at Santa and says, Santa Claus, what do you feed Rudolph to make him fly? And the guy pulls off his beard and pulls out a cigarette and says, don't bother me now. Get him on my smoke break. And he walked away. That's the story I use because imagine how crushed that kid would be at that moment.
Right.
I have a 5-year-old guy in a 50-year-old body right there in front of me, nose to nose, that is hero standing in front of him. So what I've found to do, because that's a massive dilemma because I've never sat in my family, I never will, is I had business cards made up. It's got a picture on it and all that stuff. And I hand him a card and I lean over to him and said, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to put this card in your pocket and I want you to wait until you get home and then you can send me your picture. Okay. And I love to post it online. That would be fantastic if you could do that. And so he does. And we don't blow the moment. And later on, he gets card home and goes, oh, okay. This guy's a cosplayer. He does this for charity and whatever. And I don't want to, I just kind of, you know, you want to let somebody down easily versus pulling the beard off and don't bother me now type thing.
Right.
So
right.
That's a dilemma that I have looking this close. Not now, but with the makeup and stuff on to the guy. Yeah. And that's presents itself all kinds of problems.
Mm. Yeah.
So interesting stories too, but at the same time too, there's a lot of people on Ubering, you know, before last month or whatever. And I picked up a girl and she says, hey, I remember you from Music Hall. We've got your picture on our refrigerator. Like, wow, really? So we got my stupid picture on your picture. Wow. So there's little things like that. You go, wow, okay. That means it means so much to a lot of people.
Right.
And so, one thing of that too is that's another way I can start using it more in a positive way to try to earn more money is I know there's a website called cameo.org and you can be an impersonator and sign up for that. So I might start doing that. But this Friday, there's a boy who in UK who's got a birthday. So I'm going to do my first video as Luke with him and practice that and use that a little bit. And that's why the set's behind me, the Tatooine or whatever, that I'll be there with in costume. And I've got the sabers and all that to go with it. But, So, but I'm going to record a bunch of messages then too. And when we're done, if you want me to record one for you as well, I'll be glad to do that. So you can save it for somebody's birthday or whatever. And then I can send that to you online. But yeah, I want to start doing more of that. Cause so I'm just, I just want to see how much I can earn for these charities. You know, while I've got this damn handsome good looks, it won't last forever. Hamlin's been 12 years ahead of me. So if I take care of myself, I've got another dozen years of doing this.
You got a decade to go on this. This is good.
Yeah, at least probably. As long as he's still alive, they might believe that it's Mark. So take care of yourself, Mark, please.
That's funny. So now, do you know if Mark has seen pictures of you? Do you know if he's...
Oh, yeah. Mark and I communicate all the time. He follows me on Twitter.
Okay.
Communicates the wrong way to do it. He's done a ton of likes. He sent messages. Uh-huh. We've actually sent a DM too, because I have a volunteer not too long ago to help out Gold Star and Purple Heart families. Gold Star, as you probably know, the families who lost somebody in combat. And of course, Purple Heart and wounded soldiers. And there's a real awesome guy. His name's Tim O'Sullivan, who's here in town, and he invited me to come do this event with them where they were getting ready for a summertime fundraiser, which I hope to help them. And Tim is a Purple Heart survivor and veteran. He had, I believe he said, 100-pound IED blow the front end off of his Humvee. Oof. And he's sitting there with all kinds of massive injuries. He should have been dead, and he survived it. But he had to get discharged, and so he's like, now what? So he started building Star Wars stuff, and he built a real cool R2-D2, is really, really awesome. Right size, a nice BB-8 and a DO. He just finished, and he just did a 3D print of Babu Frick. And so Tim's really, really an awesome guy. And so he did a C-3PO on that too. So when I went to do this, I knew Mark Hamill is the son of the military. So I sent him a message. I said, can you please help me out what to say to him? So he sent me back a message, and when Tim got out of his C-3PO costume, he built a C-3PO costume, and he's like the best C-3PO outside of Anthony Daniels, I guarantee it. So if you scroll back on Facebook, you'll see he and I and R2, there's only like an 8-second thing of us together there. You'll see all three of us there and watch him in action. He's like right on, head motions and everything.
Wow.
So Tim, out of costume, then read this to all these Gold Star families, and they were really touched. So then I sent back the response back to him and all that. And so then Mark retweeted that. So if you look at Mark Hamill's Twitter on February 13th, you'll see that he retweeted my Luke Skywalker stuff. So he's been very generous to me in that sense of being kind and polite and kind of following me. And I try not to include him too much because I don't want to bother him, because everybody's pawing him. Can I please have a like and all that? And I'm like, okay. And they, you know, they love the guys. So they just want an interaction with him. I get it. Same way when I got kind of that mob that happened out there to Comic-Con, everybody was wanting to just kill you with kindness. They just wanted a selfie, but they kept coming in closer and closer and closer. And, that was honestly kind of scary. I'd never been in the center of a mob before, but a mob of love, as it were. They just wanted a selfie. And no matter what I told them, you read the story, no matter what I told them, I didn't break character. That was the thing. So no matter what I told them, I'd say, I'm not Mark Hamill. I'm Harrison Ford. You like that. And, you know, top of my lungs. And one guy in the front yells back, even better. So, but I would, they'd come right up and they'd say, Mr. Hamill, can I get a selfie? I'd say, I'm not Mark Hamill. Then I'd say, I'm Luke Skywalker. And they go, okay, Mr. Hamill, can we just get a photo with you? And say, no, really? Okay, you got me. I'm Chewbacca. Boop, 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 Chewbacca. You know, I make the R2-D2 sounds with C-3Os. We'll just get it all wrong. So they get a laugh. We laugh. And at the end, I always give them the Spock sign and say, live long and prosper, you know, or whatever. Or Nanu Nanu if they're older, because they get that reference right away. So younger people don't get that as much as the older ones do. But but the idea is just... my motto since I started this is WWMHD, what would Mark Hamill do? And that's always been a good motto to have, which is be polite, be G-rated, be funny. And, you know, I tried never to say no to anybody as far as a photo request. Hey, would you say hi to my uncle here? We're FaceTiming live. He's in West Virginia. I'm like, hey, Uncle Bob, how's it going over there? He said, oh my God, I'm a big fan. And like, well, I love Star Wars too, you know, but I never say I'm Mark Hamill at any time. Right. I'll do Luke Skywalker all the day because that's the guy I'm playing. It's like if somebody was Spider-Man, you want him to stay in a Spider-Man mode and be quiet or say whatever he is. Or Darth has got to talk like Darth Vader, but he can't pop his hair off. head off, you know, and he's like a redheaded guy named Jerry from Jiffy Lube or whatever. And yeah, how's it going? Okay, yeah, yeah. You don't want that coming out of Darth Vader. So when I'm in there, as long as people see me, I stay Luke Skywalker. If I go to the bathroom, that glove stays on. I mean, at the urinal, of course, but you know,
if I ever meet you in person.
Well, you know, I take property. The idea is that I never break that character, never come out. Right, so, right. You know, if people want a selfie in the bathroom, let's go outside and we'll do a selfie. But it's one of those things where it's just, you know, as long as I'm there, all the requests are always yes. And, you know, can you pose this way? Yes. Can you say hi to so-and-so? And then I do video requests for somebody's birthday coming up or anniversary. Like, I'm more than happy to do that because it makes people happy. People love Luke Skywalker.
Right.
Absolutely love the guy. And so playing somebody who's that beloved is really a treat because you rarely get anybody wants to punch in the teeth unless you say, yes, I'm definitely Mark Hamill. And of course you're not. And since I've never said that, that's not a problem. But
yeah. Well, that's one of the things that I love about and I'm always impressed with the Star Wars community. And as you say, you cosplay as Luke Skywalker. And there's this desire to turn it into something that's a greater good, you know, whether it is the 501st or what you're doing or whoever. I mean, I even had for my son's birthday party a couple of years ago, there's a local saber guild of a bunch of guys who dress up as Jedi, and they come and they train, you know, little kids how to swing lightsabers, which, by the way, training 12 5-year-olds to how to use a lightsaber sounds like a great idea until they're running around your house.
I think I remember that from the Order 66 scene. Exactly. Something like that.
But you know, all they asked for was a donation to a local charity, much like you. And that was exactly. And I love that about Star Wars. And said, I mean, look, there's thousands of podcasts and there's all these people who just attach themselves to something they love and they do something good with it. And that's what's so great about it. And that's what I love hearing about your story is it's, and one of the things I loved about looking through your website is just all the smiles you put on kids' faces, which is just, it's amazing. It's such
a, oh yeah. Well, I feel I've done my job when I look over and the kid is smiling and they've got a lightsaber. And of course they usually like beating the hell out of me with lightsabers. Kids love beating each other up with lightsabers, but you know, we go there, we always have a battle, and lo and behold, they always win. The kids always win. They never figure that one out, but they always beat Luke Skywalker. But what I do out of the corner of my eye when I'm doing whatever is to look over at the mom mm-hmm. and dad and watch them smiling ear to ear, watching their kid smile. This kid, maybe a little girl, she's 9, has no hair, no eyebrows. She's going through some major chemo stuff, and she's just giddy. She ran upstairs to get her Star Wars shirt and her Rey, you know, bow stick and all that. And she's just really, you know, totally head over heels happy that you're there. And you can see the smile on the parent's face, and I go, good. They're not worrying about something right now. They're not dealing with stress right now. And so when I go every 3 months, and this is where the GoFundMe comes in, and you can see all the links on www.imflukeskywalker.com, which I am Fluke Skywalker, like that. Not I am, but I am. Like, yep. I'm. You go there and there's a link down the bottom. And so people will donate to that. And so that lets me buy these toys every 3 months. And they have this toy closet. So what I do is go up when, you know, we're not dealing with this virus thing right now, but normally I would be going up, coming during a Sunday morning. They're about to come down to brunch. So I'll meet a dozen or two dozen kids there, plus their siblings, and I'll hand out toys. And, you know, brother goes, can I get one? I'm like, of course, take one, you know? And so they do. And then when we're finished, they have this toy closet. We open it up and we jam this full of Star Wars toys. I bring all the Star Wars stuff for sure, but there's mm-hmm. Barbies and Legos and you name it that are in all kinds of games. So what happens is I know that after I leave a month later, a little girl can come out of chemo or a boy or whatever, and they are depressed. They've thrown up 3 times already. They're besides themselves. Their brothers, sisters are freaking because, you know, the little kid or whatever is wigging. And so, and they don't know what to do. Everybody's besides themselves. And mom goes, wait a minute, I got an idea. It's then go down to the toy closet. They open it up and it's just, you know, imagine being a kid and there's 500,000 toys in front of you. I don't know. There's a lot of toys in there. Right. And pick out whatever you want. And a little brother goes, can I get something too? Like, of course. So they go in there and they can get, you know, Lego lightsabers and stuff or whatever, or Barbies. But the idea is it cheers them up, and then sigh of relief for mom, right? She's like, oh, thank God they got something like that too. So I try to continue to go down there and take stuff and continue to have them load that up so that they can have whatever they want. And their siblings always get something, because being a kid left out is just, that's illegal. You just can't do that. So they always get something too. You know, the whole family is sick when one person's sick. I always meet with the whole family that they're visiting. And you know, the stories you hear, there's not a time you come out of there when you're not, you know, they're not talking to you. And again, the parents will open right up to Luke Skywalker. He's a trusted soul. So, the stories you hear, you just, there's no way that a regular person can't hear those without being right on the edge of tears the whole time of just like, oh my God, you know, you got the rest of your families in Arizona. Your kid can't fly, so you haven't seen all your other little kids in a year. Your mom's taking care of everybody with your husband. You've been away a year, so you lost your job, which means you lost your health care. And you got a kid that's really, really sick and about to do the 6th spine surgery. It's like, God, how much pain can you throw on a human? You know, so I'm there to try to not only cheer them up, but then, you know, get the tickets and toys, and then the stuff in between makes those checks happen, and all those checks then go straight to Ronald McDonald House to help with the bills, with the food and the lodging and all that. So if people listening want to donate something, that's cool. If not, that's okay too. I get it. But if anybody does, you can find the links on Facebook page as well as my website.
Absolutely. And I'll make sure to run the links in the notes for the show and all over Twitter and wherever we are. That's really great. So that's cool. That's right. Well, good. I appreciate the time, and I look forward to continuing to follow you. I have this 10 question bit that I would love to throw by you here. So,
okay, sure.
They're all Star Wars. They're not trivia, so you don't have to get your source. They're all from you, and they can be.
Who is Mr. Spock? Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll start with these. What is the fourth finger on Chewbacca's right hand? No, they're all opinion. So, like, the first one is this one. What is your favorite Star Wars movie, TV show, or book?
Anyone with Luke Skywalker. So let me just say the first one I saw was, of course, Episode 4. So that's always going to be in my heart. I look like the guy in 7, 8, and 9, which everybody, you know, they've all got the opinions on that. And everybody, you know, take the movie out, redo the ending. They don't want Luke to die. They don't want Han to die. They don't want Leia to die. So I get all that too. But, you know, the ones I've watched the most recently, of course, are 7, 8, and 9, because I need to get that voice just right of, you know, the Force isn't just a power, you know, I'll get all that stuff just right. And the emotions and, you know, the eye roll and all that stuff. So I try to get that right. And what's really cool is that the Star Wars Celebration coming up in Anaheim, there's a girl who is spot on Rey. She and I are going to be together there if they hold it. Let's hope they don't postpone it too long or cancel it. But if they hold it in August in Anaheim, we're going to get together with pictures. I guarantee you that's a showstopper with two of us together.
That's awesome.
I've got one costume upgrade that's going to be really cool. So I'm sorry I digress so much. But favorite would probably be Episode 4 for, you know, the OG stuff. But 7, 8, and 9, well, 7, not so much. You didn't have a lot of script in there. It's just a blank sheet of paper. Here's your script. They left it as a cliffhanger, literally.
Yeah, literally a cliffhanger.
That's right. That's what it was. But, of course, 8 and 9, you know, I have to like his performance in that, too. But a lot of people are mad because of, you know, all the different dynamics in there.
Yeah, it's the old, I said on a show recently that there was no way they would make anybody happy. And my guest said, well, I'm sure they made somebody happy. That's the way it works. All right. So I hate to ask you this, but what is your least favorite Star Wars movie, TV show, or book?
Could I just give you a character instead?
You could do that. Okay.
Where did he go? I had him in here earlier. Jar Jar Binks.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's got to be somebody you love the most and somebody you don't love the most. And so I'll just say I don't love him the most.
There you go. That's
great. Me too, don't like him. That's great. Sorry for all the Jar Jar fans. I'm sorry, but that's my opinion. You're entitled to yours. I respect that.
Everybody gets their own opinion, and that's fine. That's absolutely fair. Yeah, that's great. And it's sort of it's an upcoming question, which we'll also, I think we gave a little preview to by doing that. It's perfect. Would you consider, this is kind of silly asking Luke Skywalker, if you consider yourself an Imperial or a Rebel, but
we'll just check that one off as obviously.
We'll move on. What's your favorite Star Wars sound effect?
Oh, I could tell you. Wait a second. I'll let you hear it. Hang on.
Oh, awesome.
All right. You might have to edit this. Sorry about the gap in here, but here's my favorite sound. I lost my arm. There you go.
Yep.
So that's the Ultrasaber Saber right there. This is, of course, Darth Vader's model.
Yep.
Anakin Skywalker's model. I do have the Luke over there, too, the one that he builds. You have to be build your own as a Jedi. You have to assemble them yourself, part of the deal. But this is the first one that I got, was the blue one from Ultrasabers, and then picked up that. And then a couple of fans sent me two other ones, said, here you go.
Oh,
wow. We love what you're doing. They sent me two other ones. They're not the same grade as this, but they light up nicely on camera, and I always have one for me and one for a fan. And if there are two fans that show up, I give them mine, and I just do the chokehold thing with my hand, you know. But that's my favorite Star Wars sound effect, is the saber. Years ago, before I was a teacher, I was a sound man, and I actually read all about how the sound designer for the movies did all his sound. So
yeah,
when they shoot all this stuff, it's like he took a wrench over to a guy wire on a radio tower and did that. Choo, choo, choo. You hit it. Yep. You could do it yourself.
Yep.
And then all the stuff going by with the ships, like the TIE fighters, yep, putting a microphone inside of a vacuum cleaner tube and going by the expressway. And the cars would go by and they make that sound like that. So he had a lot of cool tricks up his sleeve. And it's nice that Lucas said, you know what, scrap all those old records with the sound effects that we've all heard a trillion times. I want you to start fresh. And so kudos to him for that. And so, but I like when the saber fires up. That's always my favorite sound.
Yeah. And it's so recognizable as Star Wars. And to your point, you know, the, in fact, one of the very first interviews I ever did was with Ben Burtt years ago. And
nice.
It's just this, the fact that you know, if you took those sounds and Star Wars didn't exist and you just heard the sounds, they would mean nothing. But you hear those sounds and it pulls you right back to it. It's just like the music. It's like John Williams' music.
Yeah, you know, I mentioned I saw The Rise of Skywalker three times, and a couple times I'm there with the fans because we did charity events all weekend. We raised around $5,200 in a weekend.
Wow.
To give to these charities. So I saw the movie three times. The first time was, wow. The second time was, I'm going to watch the story this time. The third time, though, I'm going to be taken away and focus on John Williams' music and the special effects and all the sound effects and everything. So I focused just on that the third time. And that's a way to see any Star Wars movies three times at least. There are people that went 10 and 12 and all that, and more power to them, you know.
Yep.
But I saw it at least three times, and I'll probably get the disc here when it comes out. But during this coronavirus, you know, shut in, I'm watching all the whole series again.
Yep.
And notice a lot of cool stuff. One thing I actually posted online the other day was in Rogue One, in Solo, the first car that he steals,
has
these taillights that look familiar. The front end of that thing looked familiar. I'm like, what do I know this. I was born in 63. I know this vehicle. Uh-huh. And sure enough, if you look up any 1960s Ford Falcon, that's what Han Solo driving there. So it's got to be based on that. There's no other thing that's based on. You look, the taillights are identical. I posted on the line. So what else would he be driving but a Falcon? So
that's perfect. That's
great. Check it out yourself. You go back a few days on Twitter or on Facebook, you can see it. I posted that on there. I did like a side by side shot of '60s, like a 1965 Ford Falcon. Where it's just right on the money. It's like, that's
awesome. I'm going to definitely have to check that out. That's so cool.
That's conjecture on my part, but I really feel that somebody, you know how they do Easter eggs everywhere. That's just one just right. Perfectly fit.
That's the kind of thing that I would not, you know, that makes sense. I think they would, even if you guessed and that's not what they did, they should say they did.
Hey, you know what's something really cool? So another guy in town who works with Lucasfilm all the time, his name's Chris Reif, and he's a real good designer. He got to design the an R2-D2 that I was first did something with, and it's right on the money because he got to measure the real one. It's got all the patina and everything. Oh, wow. He's a great artist. He's got that real nice guy, and he just got a job with Hasbro. and he's going to work on developing more Star Wars toys with them. Sadly, he's moving away from here, but he's a real super nice guy. He does all those books from the Haynes, the repair manuals that you get, like the Millennium Falcon. Yeah. And he told me some neat stuff. He said the Haynes actually said, told him, they sell the car and truck repair manuals for, you know, Fords and Chevy, but the Millennium Falcon repair manual is their best-selling manual they've ever sold in the history of Haynes. And he and a couple other guys did it. And so Chris told me an interesting fact that you might like, which was that, oh, you got the manual there? Cool. That's the one. Look on the front, the bottom. Look at the front illustrated on the bottom. See Chris Reif on there?
I do. Yep. There it is.
Yeah, him. Okay. So I have pictures with him. You'll see me online. All that. So guess what Chris said? They want to measure the real Falcon. And all your listeners will love this. This is a cool Easter egg, especially if you know George Lucas. Mm-hmm. They measured it front to back, perfectly tape measure, 113 feet, 8 inches long.
1138.
You got it?
That's awesome.
Isn't that cool?
That's fantastic.
That's a cool little tidbit that Chris told me. And, you know, only somebody is that's that detailed into it that gets there. So if you go to the Star Wars stuff, like in Anaheim or Celebration, I guess it is. I think you probably do Anaheim. But last year at San Diego Comic-Con, my apologies, the whole set, he painted all that and built that. I mean, probably he and some other guys, but he's the guy who basically did all that. I mean, you know, so when you see stuff behind, it's really, really cool. And you got really talented guys like that, obviously.
That's really cool. That is so cool.
Yeah,
I love all these little details and Easter eggs and things. It's all over the place. That's great. All right, asking Fluke Skywalker who his favorite droid is: R2, 3PO, or BB-8.
R2-D2 because he saves everybody's bacon all the time in every movie and never got a medal.
Yeah, this is true.
Plus, I like him because he's got such a dirty, filthy mouth. They have to beep out everything he says.
It's, have you seen? There's a couple of pretty funny YouTube videos where they do subtitles for him, and it's you know just sort of made up by people. It's great. And speaking of interesting connections, I just saw this. Speaking of 3PO of all things, the first line he had in A New Hope is, "Did you hear that?" And then that was his last line in Rise of Skywalker. I had no idea. It blew my mind. Blew me away.
Yeah, and he was. What was the other thing? You know that he's in all the movies. He's the only one in all the movies.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. In fact, all 11.
And you know what? After I saw the guy get bolted in and unbolted out of his C-3PO costume, this is Tim O'Sullivan. You can find him on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Once I posted the video of him actually getting unbolted out of that. Uh-huh. It's in there so tight, and he can barely see or hear anything.
Yeah.
It's amazing that what Anthony Daniels out in the deserts of Tunisia in that thing cooking. I mean, just like hats off to Anthony Daniels. He's such an unbelievable talent to start with, but to just as a human being to stay inside that costume, it's being inside of an oven all day.
Yeah.
And you watch those cosplayers, you know, the 501st guys, the stormtroopers and Darth Vaders, they pop those helmets off. They're drenched.
Yeah.
It is so unbelievably hot. I'm not that bad. I wear this big leather thing that I have and the costume, and I'm in four layers always, which is a t-shirt, an Irish fisherman's real wool sweater.
Okay.
Imagine summertime with that if I go out in black. And then I've got this big real live leather handmade cape that Luke wore. And then I have the over thing too. Sometimes I'll just swap those out, but otherwise you're just going to pass out from the heat. Yeah. But I'm cooking and I don't complain anymore because I see what happens when stormtroopers pull the helmet off. And my God, they're just like coming out of a sauna and they're out of breath. And you're like, oh man, that's a lot. Yeah. You know, but it's unbelievable. So anybody that wears, no matter who you are, when you have a costume that covers your head like that, kudos to you.
Yeah.
My hat's off to them.
Oof. Yeah. Yikes. All right. Next question. What spaceship or vehicle would you most like to own from the Star Wars universe?
Well, it's either, you know, of course, a toss up between the Falcon and an X-Wing. Mm-hmm. So I probably would be an X-Wing. Just to keep everything just right, you know, keep balancing the force, as it were.
That's right. Keeping character and balancing the force.
The twin ion engine fighter. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Twin ion engine fighter might be nice to have too, but putting me in one of those would probably be sacrilegious. I better not get there. So, an X-Wing, of course, you know.
Yeah.
With R2 in the back, none of the other ones.
Right. So it actually goes with the question.
Although there are some really cool ones. And as I watched number one, I think it was, where they went to meet Anakin and had that chrome ship that flew around, you know, that little sleek thing that looked like an SR-71 chromed out.
Yeah, the Queen Amidala's ship.
That's the one where most of the ship was taken up with her clothes closet.
That's why it was so big. It would have been half the size. Yeah.
And you know, when I did Star Wars Celebration, I met the people from the Japanese Star Wars group. Uh-huh. Which I realized there was one. And there was a woman who came and it must have been geisha stuff she had. Nailed it, man. Yeah. Perfect on the princess costume that was there. She's like, so good. You can go back and look. There's pictures I have online and you have to scroll back on Facebook. But there's she with me with that Japanese woman. She just nailed that character.
Oh, awesome. I'll have to, yeah. I'm going to have a lot of scrolling to do, I think, Luke.
Yeah.
All right. Of these three, which is your favorite? Porg, Ewok, or Jar Jar Binks, who's on the list?
What's the process of elimination? So Jar Jar, no. I go Michael Scott on that, right? If I had Hitler and Hitler, Jar Jar, and Mussolini in the room, I'd shoot Jar Jar twice. Whatever. So, sorry. Porgs, you know, they're fun. Okay. Ewok, though, you know, I'm going to hang out with one of them more than anything else. They look like they're fun little critters, even though they try to cook you.
Once they like you, that you're
pretty good. Right. Like that. You're having me for dinner? Oh, you're having me for dinner.
Exactly. All right. This next question I ask everybody, and for you, it's really ridiculous to ask. It's if you could be any character in Star Wars, who would it be and why? Well, I'll answer that one for you. I'd say Luke, because you look exactly like him.
Close. Yeah. There's some subtle differences, but close enough that I could pull this off. But yeah, that's a good question. No, I like that one. Yeah. And now how about any other character?
Okay, any other character than Luke, who would you be and why?
I would go with Carrie Fisher with Princess Leia because she was somebody that didn't take any guff, you know, summoned up courage when she needed to, didn't need anybody to rescue her, was her own person, and was somebody I think that a lot of people could look up to. If you're not looking up to Luke, you're looking up to Leia as a kid.
Yeah.
If you start off with four... probably the way George intended it to be. I don't know. As long as it says written and directed by George Lucas at the end, I'm good. Whatever. So, but I don't mind the other movies as well. But again, I just enjoy the ride and the effects and all that. And I'm not a purist. And there are people they want to be. That's fine. Go ahead. But not me. I like the works and the amount of people that influences the positive message. Given to so many people and especially females. It really is a lot of female empowerment between, you name it, name the character in there for the most part. You know, they really have a big influence on women in society and Rey, you know, too, goes hand in hand with Leia on that too. She knows she's her own person. And, so I like that they've done that and keep that going and they should no matter what they do. Cause you know, Disney's got to make back their investment. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be a Star Wars 10 and 11 and a 12 and a 93 and whatever. Mickey Mouse has been around for 92 years now.
Yep.
So in 92 years from now, Star Wars will be around. It'll probably be its own big amusement park somewhere else too. And Disney or somebody else buys it or whatever, but it will not go away. It's too much ingrained in our society and around the world.
Yeah. And it's become sort of the modern myth, right? It's the story.
Yeah.
So, awesome. Okay, so which trilogy is your favorite? The originals, the prequels, or the sequels?
Probably OG on that one. I'd have to go with. Although I watch the other ones more, the last one on the sequels, because I need to get the character and the voice right when I'm interacting with people that they want. For the most part, they want you to shut up and hold the lightsaber and look like Luke. That's all I really need to do. Just show up and look and just be damn handsome. That's all there is. But again, I always go with WWMHD. And so I'm always nice. And I always do the request and I'm always try to be funny. And I'll always, keep it G rated. There's times when there's stuff on the tip of your tongue. And you're like, oh man, don't say that's what she said. Whatever you do, don't do that. So that's there. But even when I'm posting and stuff, there's stuff that I want to post, but I don't. Right, so I'll actually send it to somebody else. Say, here, feel free to post this. But I've got kids who watch me and there's a kid over in UK. I'm still trying to help him get to Disney World. His name is Super Saul 2 on, Twitter, and he beat this wicked cancer that should wipe out any grown man should have been long gone, and Saul beat it. Wow. So he's in remission. I'm trying to still raise funds to help Saul get to Disney World. What's really cool is I put the information online and, you can see that the first posted thing you'll see on Twitter is me, and the donation that I gave to him, and then try to encourage people. So it bumped his numbers up really big to get him money that he needed, but he's still not there. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to figure out ways to help Saul to get over there as well too. So, but what's neat is somebody that saw that on Imgur, if that's how you pronounce it, said, "Hey, you get him here. I work at Disney World. I'll get him in for free. You get him here."
Oh, wow.
So now we're just dealing with that expenses of hotel and airfare and stuff. Isn't that cool?
That's great. That's so great. Yeah. I just love the community aspect of everything. So
cool. Oh, me too. I need more to find more people that would do that, or to somebody to retweet that who's got some celebrity status and say, yeah, help out Saul and let's make it happen, you know. And that would be cool if some, you know, I mean, just the followers, if you know, 0.1% of Hamill's followers did $5, the kid's there already. Boom, sure. Like that.
Yep,
but getting that to happen, and I've never asked Mark to retweet anything like that. So I'm kind of hesitant to do that. Everybody's, like I said, on him all the time. Would you please say this? Please do that. And he had to wisely bail out and say, I got to stop doing birthday requests. Otherwise, I'm here 24/7, right?
He'd always be in front of his phone. Yeah.
Right, right. So in all fairness, I mean, the guy's got a private life. He's got a family. He's got work to do. And he's got What We Do in the Shadows coming up. So that'll be fun to see.
Yeah.
I just posted the other day. So my secret wish is for him to be a vampire. And it shows up with the lid shut, and his familiar's trying to open it from inside. He yells, use force. I thought that would be just so fun. I'd love to see them do something like tying a Star Wars thing or whatever.
That would be hilarious. Yeah. All right. So the last question of these 10 questions is, what is your favorite Star Wars quote?
Oh, that's a good one. I guess it would have to be written and directed by George Lucas. don't get cocky, kid.
It's a good one.
And all this stuff too. You'll see me post the heck out of Luke Skywalker, but this guy who's playing him, not so much. So I don't really, hey, look at me, here's what I've done. And I always put up Luke did this, or Fluke did that, or Fluke did this, or whatever. Or I try to, if you see stuff, I'll say went to Dallas to do a show versus I went to Dallas to do a show. Right. So I'm trying to, okay. So the first goal I found out to do is how much money can I raise for these charities? That was my first goal, is raise mm-hmm. as much as possible for these charities. Right. The second goal, and I hold this one, and I've said this before, is to remain as selfless as possible. I want to be selfless in all this and keep me out of it. I don't need accolades or awards or pats on the back. I'm just a volunteer like everybody else there. I'm just doing a little bit differently. So the person who's watching the desk and the person who's helped scrubbing the toilets for these families and people that are mopping the floors who volunteer to do this, I'm no better, no worse than them. I'm just doing it differently, and I'm trying to bring in more cash to help out. But that's in my point is I'm just a volunteer doing differently what I've been doing there since 2006 and all my life. You know, I was a kid that rode the bike for Jerry's the muscular dystrophy telethon, you know, and I volunteered for some TV group for years and doing all these special events and on and on and on. I've always volunteered. It's just part of my MO. I'm still volunteering at several different organizations. I've got a ton of stuff coming up for the Arthritis Foundation and Leukemia Foundation stuff coming up. So I'm happy to do it. It's one of those things, and this is just a different way to do it, and it makes a lot of people happy. And if I can raise money for them, not me in the process, if I can get attention to them, not me in the process, that's my goal in all this. So that was goal number two, is to stay selfless as possible. And so I think I'm doing a pretty good job of it, you know, trying to.
Yeah, oh, that's fantastic. That's so great. And I'm so glad that you've been able to have fun with it and really, you know, bring fun to everybody else or to other people. I think that's the key. So so before I let you go, maybe if you could just let us know where we can find you online. I know we've talked a lot about it, but I want to make sure people know where to find you.
Okay, so there's a website that has a lot of pictures and stuff that is Fluke Skywalker.com. That's got a lot of stuff on there, and that's links to Facebook and all that. But if you go to Facebook, and that is just look at Fluke Skywalker movie character, not the Korean kid. And then you can go to Instagram, and Twitter is #1. Well, you do the @ sign #1 Fluke Skywalker, and you can find me on all of those. And I'm mostly on Twitter just for staying relevant and just keeping up what's going on, what's what, and And staying transparent on that. If you follow me on Facebook, I don't post a lot, so I'm not a nuisance. I don't do any commercials. I don't do anything. Once a year, I say, if you want to donate a couple bucks, help out with these lightsabers, that's cool. That comes at the Christmas time. But the rest of the year, I don't. Mm-hmm. I don't do any ads on purpose or be a nuisance on purpose on there. And I'm minimal on Instagram as well. And I update my website periodically. But for the most part, it says, here's what I'm doing. Here's some pictures of what I'm doing. And if you want a little treat, if you're on Twitter, look up hashtag Amazing Luke Alike.
Okay.
there's some fun stuff from Hamill that's on there too. So that's a little Easter egg thing you can find out there if your people are on that. They'll like that one too.
That's great. Well, cool. Well, thank you for spending some time with us. And hopefully this gets the word out about some of the great stuff you're doing on top of just being a really interesting person, interesting Star Wars fan with cool stories. So thank you very much for your time.
I appreciate that. And remember, live long and prosper. or you can do the combination of may the force let you live long and prosper.
That's great. Well, that wraps it up for this episode of Around the Galaxy. Thank you to Fluke Skywalker, and thank you for listening. If you had fun, please subscribe, like, share, rate, and review it. If you really liked it, please feel free to head on over to our Patreon page at patreon.com/aroundthegalaxy. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at ATGCast and keep up with us online at ATGCast.com. If someone you know or yourself would make a good guest, please drop us a line. And until next time, this has been Pete Fletzer, and we'll see you for our next trip around the galaxy.
Chewie, get us out of here!
Around the Galaxy is copyright 2020 Pete in the Seat Studios. Our music is brought to us by the band Apollo's Ghost, who can be found on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you find music.